you've got your Bible this morning, turn to Genesis 22. Yesterday was the biggest card selling holiday of the year, Valentine's Day. I have, for the first time ever this week, heard it called Valoween a bunch by those, I guess, who don't have a quote-unquote significant other. But we take Valentine's Day, and one day out of the year, we celebrate, if you will, love. And we give cards and we give chocolates. Today's my favorite day, because all of them chocolates that was at Walmart now is on sale. Hallelujah. Amen. We can chow down half price. Amen. I like it. You can go get a Valentine card for half price now too, and you just put it up somewhere and use it next year. I mean, but in this week of thinking about love, the problem is that we have let society define love. We've let Hollywood define love. I'm only going to give this little snippet. The movie that is coming out or is out, 50 Shades of Grey, Christians ought to stay away from it. It does nothing to help marriages or Christian values and morals. If you want to know how to love your spouse, read the Bible. If you want to know how to enjoy married life, read the Bible. That's the authority, not Hollywood. I know some that may watch it and may want to. Well, not everybody listens to what the Bible says, do they? And a lot of times, most people don't listen to the preacher. Don't anybody say amen. In looking at today being the day after Valentine's Day, I want to preach just a few minutes on the truth about true love. I want to say this. If you are not married, if you are not in a relationship, singleness is a gift of God also. Paul was never married. And he said, effectively, I wish there were more of you like me. Now, I don't mean this negative in any way. I would not be single now if my life depended on it. I like being married. I like having a wife. I do. Not just because she's sitting here, am I saying that. But I like being married. But God gives us seasons of our life, and they are gifts from Him and opportunities to grow and to be what God wants us to be in those seasons in our life. And let's not rush them along. Let's thank God for where we are in our life and let God bring those seasons to a close and another one to dawn in its own place. And we need to value where we are now with God and say, I want to give God the glory where I am and how I am right now at this point in time in my life. And so a lot of people think that you have to have somebody with you. The Bible does say that it's not good for man to be alone and to be married. That was God's creation. But as we go and grow in the seasons of our life, God allows us to be in each one of those for a purpose. So learn the purpose where you are now. If you're married, I want you to listen to me. If you're not married, I want you to listen to me this morning. The Bible tells us in Genesis 22, there is in Bible study and learning and interpreting the Bible, there is, and you've heard me mention it, the law of first mention. And when something is first mentioned in the Bible, the context in which it is mentioned lays the foundation in which it's supposed to be used throughout the Scripture and how it is to be applied. Genesis 22, in the story of Abraham, we find the word love mentioned for the first time. And so in Genesis 22, we find that in verse 1, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham," or test Abraham, "and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Slip your finger right there and flip over to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now remember, if it's in its context, it's supposed to carry the same context and principles as you look at it throughout the Bible. You with me? And so when we look at it through Scripture, there's many verses of Scripture that talk about love. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love that God hath bestowed upon us, that we may become the sons of God." We learn from the Bible, "No man hath greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. By this shall all men know that ye are My disciples, if ye have love one for another." And if you go through those Scripture and then refer back to Genesis 22, you will find in that same context, those principles are in those verses that I pulled out. Now, in the context of 1 Corinthians 13, God willing, we have church on Wednesday night. I'm going to preach starting in verse 8, going down through verse 13 out of 1 Corinthians 13. But this morning, I want us to begin reading in verse 4 and go down to verse number 8. In verse 4, it says, "Charity," or love, "suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, and this is the great one, charity never faileth." Say amen. And then in verse 13, he also says, "The greatest of these is charity," or love. Now I want to draw some correlation between Genesis 22 and 1 Corinthians 13. As first, I want us to look at the biblical definition of love. According to the Hebrew word that is used in Genesis 22, that word means to desire after, to long after. I believe the lexicon actually says that it is a word that means to breathe after, which means that you desire it for your own. You have to have it. You're longing after it. We got to breathe, don't we? We may hold our breath. And youngins may say, "I'm going to hold my breath. You give me what I want." Let them hold their breath. I mean, the body will take over eventually and they'll breathe. Amen? So what we have to have, we have to have breath in order to have life. And so the Hebrew word and the word love in the Old Testament, if my mind serves me right, is used about 208 times in various forms. God thinks it's a big deal when it comes to love. The Greek and the Hebrew, or the Greek and the Aramaic, there are two words there in the New Testament that are used most of the time. Agape and phileo. Phileo, of course, you said, "Preacher, this is old hat." Hang with me just a minute. I believe in looking across the landscape of our congregation that has made it here this morning, that this is why God has led me in this direction. That phileo is a friendly type love. It's a love that friends share one another. It's where we get the name Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Then you have the word agape, which those two words us that God has bestowed upon us through the giving of His Son, Jesus Christ. It's the highest form of love that there is. And when John recorded how that Christ asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Peter said, "I do love you." Jesus was asking with agape. Peter was replying with phileo. God wants deep love from you and I. Amen. Brotherly love is temporary. Brotherly love only happens when we get along. Have you ever had somebody you didn't get along with? And it seems like that love kind of fades, amen? When things don't go the way we think they ought to go. As you read the biblical definition of love and you understand in the context of love what it is, you understand that there is a great difference. Now listen to me. There is a great difference in love and lust. There is a lot of lust that is out there. You can laugh at this if you want to, but I have often said I love peanut butter. And as I have studied this out, I've come to realize I lust after peanut butter. Because I don't love it like God loves. I wouldn't sacrifice for peanut butter. I wouldn't bestow all of my goods for peanut butter. There's been some times where I've had to endure all things to get some, but I don't agape it. I lust after it. You said, "Preacher, that's foolishness." The difference between love and lust is physical, self-motivated, and selfish. True love is more than a physical attraction. Love goes deeper down to the soul. God was not attracted to humankind, but God loved us deeply enough that even though we were sinners, He commended His love towards us. And the problem is, we glorify lust. I mean, we live in a society today where we love everything, don't we? I mean, we use that word so loosely anymore. But now, it would change the conversation if you were talking about a Chevrolet and you say, "I lust after that." Instead of saying, "I love my truck." I mean, it would change if somebody says, "Do you want to go to the steakhouse?" "I lust after the steakhouse." But you see the difference. Now, you're looking at me this morning like I'm crazy. But is that not the truth? Is that not the difference? Is that lust is a physical attraction. It's a physical desire. And the truth of the matter of it is, lust is never satisfied because it continuously grows. You continuously... That is why... Now, you listen to me. That is why we are in the shape we are in with the landscape of sexuality in our country. It's because men and women have left what God designed between one man and one woman, and they've branched out and they've went into ungodly directions. The Bible teaches heterosexuality is the only way that God will bless in a man. Now that's not very popular, but that's truth. If you want to shoot the messenger, that's okay. That's just what the book teaches. And so there is that difference. Also, I want to say this, that in learning about love, love is more, true love. True love is more than an emotion. It's an action. When you read the Hebrew word there in Genesis 22, verse number 2, it's a verb. I believe it was D.C. Talk. How many remember D.C. Talk? Raise your hand. Come on, Don, raise your hand. D.C. Talk used to be the beginning of what is now Toby Mac. And for those of you that don't understand, D.C. Talk had a song, "Love is a Verb." I couldn't help but sing it while I was studying this message. Because love is not an emotion. That's lust. It's temporary. It goes. And as time changes. But true love is constant and it goes through things, and it endures things, and it perseveres through things. I mean, you think about your own life as you're here this morning. I would be so suffice to say that most of us in here this morning are Christian men and women, and we are here not because we thought it would be a good idea to come to the house of God on a slick, cold morning, but because He loved us, and because He loved us, we want to love Him back, and so we come to worship Him and come to the house of God. You think about what He's endured to love you, what He's endured to show you love, and how that when you have been unlovable, He still loved you. When you have went in the total opposite direction He's wanted you to go in, He still loved you. That's how love is defined today. It's not an emotion that changes. It is something, it's an action. It's not just a noun. Now, I want us to look in chapter 13. You got your Bible there, 1 Corinthians 13. I want us to look at the description of love. We've looked at the definition. All right, I understand. Love is a verb. It's what I do. It's not just what I feel. I dare, if you were to be brave enough men, as you're driving home today or sitting on the couch this evening since there ain't no worship service, look over at your wife and say, "You always feel like you love me." I'm going to go ahead and say this. I would just about bet there's some times that my wife would love to kill me. She's told me before there's a hole she knows she can put me in, nobody find me. That's real encouraging, isn't it? But now, we understand love is defined not by how I feel, but on factual things. It's deeper than just a feeling, because we fall in and out of love sometimes, don't we? I mean, think about it. I mean, here I am, and you can laugh. I told you he's going to laugh at this. This is a very serious message this morning. I grew up a Ford fan. I grew up driving. I mean, the only trucks I've ever bought have been Ford trucks. But if God blesses me, I'm going to put away childish things and become a man and buy Chevrolet. You can say amen right there. No. You see, it's not based on true love. It's just what's appealing. But now, if in the context, I'm going to come back to Genesis 22 right now, because you're going to have to go back and forth. But Paul tells me in 1 Corinthians 13, he describes love. Now in chapter 12, he's talking about gifts. I'm not going to spend too much time here. But at the end of chapter 12, he says, "I'm going to show you a more excellent way." And then he starts in chapter 13. And the first few verses, he's talking about, even though I may be able to speak eloquently, even though I may be able to if I give my body to be burned, he said, but I have not love, it's a waste. And then he gives us a true description of what true love is. Now this is New Testament, and I believe we can see it in the first mention of love in Genesis 22. In 1 Corinthians 13, he says, "Charity," or love, "suffereth long." The Bible is talking about there that it is patient, that it endures. In chapter 1, Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, the Bible says that God tested Abraham. You don't know whether it's love until it's tested. And then if it comes out the test, it's the real deal. Amen? Think about, now don't bring it up and don't get historical, but think about the folks you dated before you met your spouse. Think about the folks you're dating now. You ever get in an argument and it's over with? Didn't pass the test. Ever had a disagreement and it didn't pass the test? God tested Abraham. He knew Abraham loved Isaac. And he said, "I want to see how much you love me." And so he said, "Take thy son, thy only son, whom thou lovest, and take him to the mountain which I show you, and offer him on the altar there." And so love was tested. And guess what? Abraham passed the test. Because as he was going to offer Isaac, the angel of the Lord said, "But
Look over here at this side. So love is described in the fact that it endures the test. 1 Corinthians 13 says, and is kind, is patient, and is kind. Never in Genesis 22 do you read where we find that we have Abraham arguing with God, being envious of God. I'll get to that in a minute. He says in 1 Corinthians 13, it envieth not, charity envieth not, is not vaunted up. It means it does not, he is not wanting other things. Abraham's motives were known by God. And if his motives had not been pure, you follow me? If his motives had not been pure, the ram would not have been provided. But Abraham was not saying, okay, I'll give you Isaac, but what you gonna give me? You see, love says, I'll give you, but what am I gonna get? True love is not defined by what it gives or what it gets, but by what it gives. And Abraham said, if this is what you want, I'll give it to you. And so he passed the test. Then was found not envious, was found kind. The scripture says, vaunteth not himself, he's not puffed up. He wasn't boastful in what he did. I don't even find where he comes there. I guess that would have started a good argument, don't you? But he knew what God wanted him to do. I don't even find where he tells the other men what he's going. As a matter of fact, the two lads he took with him, he said, me and the boy go yonder to worship. He didn't say, this is going to be my land. He said, I'm going to worship. We're going together to worship. And listen, as you look at this story and you find out Abraham was not being boastful or prideful. He was not puffed up, but he was simply saying, this is what God wants. God loves me and I love God. And so I'm going to be obedient to what God wants. Bible tells us to follow me. If not behave itself unseen, it's not rude, it's not ugly. Let me say something right here. If you're not treated with respect, it's not love. Abraham, out of respect for God, did what God wanted. I'm going to go a little step further. Isaac wasn't some wee lad. He wasn't some tow-headed boy following daddy. He was a young man, possibly in his early 20s, late teens. And out of respect for his dad, out of love for his dad, the Bible says he laid the wood on him and Isaac carried it. Isaac asked him respectfully, Dad, I see everything but the lamb. And when you got to understand something, he bound that boy hand and foot. He told him to lay down on the altar. And that boy loved his daddy enough, he didn't ask any questions. He just did what the father said. God help me to just be obedient when the father says for me to do so. God help me to love him enough to now get with how did all this take place? I'll share with you in just a minute. The Bible says, it seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Seeketh not her own. You got to understand something. In that child, Isaac. Let's say 15 to 20 years of living with Isaac. All of Abraham's hopes and dreams were right there. The promise of the nation, everything he was working for was going to be passed on to Isaac. God said, oh, he didn't say, but that's the son that you promised. You gave him it. Okay, God. Now, what are you going to do? He just trusted. I'll get to that in a minute. He just went ahead and said, okay, God. Seeketh not her own. It's not easily provoked. It's not easily angered. I'm glad he don't get mad at me, aren't you? Because there's some times
There's some times where I need, if I was God, my tail would be striped. It's the only way I know how to tell you. Amen? I was coming down the road the other day, and I was thinking about some things, and I was thinking about God's discipline. And I got to thinking about there's a difference, and this may birth into a message as I ponder this thought a little bit more. There's a difference in being attacked by Satan and being disciplined by God. When you're attacked by Satan, he's coming to stop you. When you're disciplined by God, he's trying to correct you. When you're attacked by Satan, he's trying to kill you. When you're corrected by God, he's trying to encourage you and help you and give you life more abundant. And I thought, man, I hate getting whooping, don't you? If you're a child, you hate getting whooping. Say amen.
Amen.
I don't like it. Gracie don't like it. I don't know a child that does like. And I begin to think, but at least it would come from God. And God give me this thought. When Satan attacks, you've got to be right. He's wanting to stop you. When I discipline you, you're wrong. And I don't ever want to be wrong. I don't want to be wrong in God's eyes. There is a great, great difference between that. And here, the Bible says love is not easily provoked. I'm glad when I'm wrong, he doesn't get mad at me, angry at me. I'm glad he corrects me through the Word, convicts me through the Spirit. I'm glad that he lets some godly people into my life to encourage me to get back where I ought to be. Love is not easily provoked. Abraham didn't get mad when God said, I want your eyes. Abraham didn't say, what? You ever said that? Abraham was not easily provoked. Isaac wasn't easily provoked. We talk about Abraham. Put yourself in Isaac's shoes for just a minute. You go up thinking you're going to worship, and all of a sudden, the dad who you love, respect, and have tried to be the best son that you could be to, all of a sudden says, all right, lay down. What? You're the lamb. Now we understand that Abraham believed that God was going to resurrect Isaac and God was going to bring Isaac back from the dead, and he was just being obedient. But think about Isaac. Think about the doubts and had to, that might have went through his mind. Dad, are you sure this is what God said? Are you positive this is what God said? Well, you have told me that God has promised you me, and that through me you are going to be the father of a great nation. And here you are. We find none of that in Genesis 22. But the lad was not angry. You with me? I'm trying to hurt. Thinketh no evil. True love only thinks that which is good. I'm going to insert right here Philippians 4:8. If what you're in right now does not promote thoughts that are in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, good things, positive things, things that are of good report, then you're in the wrong relationship. You with me? All right. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Which means it doesn't rejoice when bad things happen, but rejoices when truth is exemplified. I'm not real sure what was going through Abraham's mind. I don't know what was going through his thought processes, but I know he was thinking, this can't be bad. It's got to be good, because God's told me this is what's got to be. And so I'm going to be thankful. I believe that what motivated the sinners, me and the lad, go yonder to worship. He didn't say, boys, God told me to take my son and sacrifice him on an altar. He said, we're going to worship. And guess what? We'll come back when we're done.
Amen.
He knew the truth of God. God was going to do something in his midst. That's what true love does. Doesn't rejoice in iniquity. When something bad happens and somebody goes, hey, 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 hey. When evil comes, they don't go, ha, ha, ha. But rejoiceth in truth. It would be good for some Christians to be excited when a sinner falls under conviction instead of saying, well, that's what they deserve. When a sinner is falling underneath hard times, for us to go to them and help them instead of going, well, they asked for it. Sometimes that's our attitude. It beareth all things. Verse 6. Could you imagine the burden that Abraham was going to have to bear walking up that mountainside that day? Him and Isaac alone. And he loved. God said he loved. Yet Abraham was going to sacrifice. You think about the weight of the burden he was, but he bore it anyway. Why? Because he loved God. He loved his heavenly Father. Beareth all things. They sometimes you've got to bear some things in this life that are just hard to bear, aren't they? True love bears them anyway. True love will go. Listen, beareth all things, believeth all things. He believed they were coming back. As I shared that scripture with you, me and the lad would come back. He believed it. True love believes in what is said by true love. True love that we have for God believes what God said. Beareth all things, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. Thank God for a little hope every now and then. Amen. I've been up since 4 o'clock. Holy Ghost gave me a nudge this morning and said, get up and spend some time with me. So I've been walking around my house and the little dog thinks I'm crazy. I wore his neck out walking back and forth to the kitchen. And about 6:15, 6:25 this morning, I began to look and I could see the sky starting to get pink and starting to get yellow and orange. And as I began to watch, I began to look and there weren't clouds covering it up. And my hope was that the sun was going to come out. Because when the sun shines on it long enough, it'll melt that which is frozen. Amen? And I began to know, even though Gooch's Creek might be white and covered by God. And it might be cold and slick on the parking lot, but come 11 o'clock, I had a little hope we could have church this morning. Amen. I'll be honest with you, if it just been me and the Holy Ghost, I was going to have it anyway, because I've done been up and communing with Him, and I was planning on having church even if everybody that's told me I couldn't come this morning. I said, that's fine. I understand. And I want to tell them, I don't believe you're going to hell if you don't come this morning, because it's as cold as it is and as slick as it is. I understand. You can't make it. But it don't take much for me to walk from my door to this door. Amen? But it hopes all things. True love hopes in what's been said and believed in and is an anchor when nothing else will hold. Thank God it hopeth all things. Or verse number 7 again, endureth all things. Endures means to see to the end, not give up. Men, think about if you had been Abraham. And that boy who you tried to teach and tried to be so honest with for so long, if he'd have turned to you and said, Dad, I see the wood, I see the fire, I see the knife. Me and you're here. I see the place. Where's the lamb for the sacrifice? I would have chickened out. I believe that. I would have probably chickened out and said, I don't know, son. Let's go back down to them other boys. I mean, I'm just telling you how my flesh would have felt. I don't know if I could have looked at it. And he said, God will provide himself a lamb. You know what he was saying? I'm hoping in God. I'm trusting in God. God has sent me to this mountainside. I'm going to trust him to come through. And so Abraham saw it through to the very end. That's what true love does. Listen, true love will not give up when the going gets tough, but it'll keep on keeping on. I'm not jumping on this beating people that have been through divorce and separation and breakup. Listen, God loves you. I love you. And it happens. And I hate that it happens. But it's no right for any man to judge anybody that's had to endure it. That's my conviction right there. Here's what I want you to understand. Is that God loves you with an everlasting love and an enduring love. And He will love you through everything that you have been through. And I love you with all my heart. Abraham endured to the end. If you'll flip back over to Genesis chapter 22. Abraham, let's see. Verse 15, and the angel of the Lord called to Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. He endured through, and God come through in the end. Hallelujah. I'm glad his love endured. I'm glad there's going to come a day, as you were singing, Brett, and I'm going to be standing there. I trusted in his love, and his love never fails. Chapter number 13, verse 8, charity never fails. I'm glad that when everything, when nothing else works, when nothing else is helping, sometimes just to know that he loves me. A description of love. As we understand that love is described, listen to this. There are some details out of Genesis 22, and then I'm going to hurry. I'm going to try to hurry best I can.
Number one, you need to understand something, that true love forgives and forgets.
Say, preacher, where do you get that out of Genesis 22? Take thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest. Now, Bible scholar, was Isaac his only son? No. Abraham made a fatal, made a very big mistake, didn't he? He went in and knew Hagar, and she bore him a son named Ishmael. And when she bore that son, then later Sarah conceived and bore Isaac. But God said, take thy son, thine only son. Are you saying that God didn't know about Ishmael? God knew all about Ishmael.
As a matter of fact, God's reminded about Ishmael every day. Now, as those that are the descendants of Ishmael are trying to kill God's chosen people, which was the seed of Abraham, God knows about Ishmael. But God didn't bring Ishmael up. He forgave him and forgot about him. Think about you right now. I'm glad he's forgot about some things. I'm glad it's been washed away and it's gone. True love forgives and forgets. I'm glad I get to enjoy that kind of love, don't you? I know what I am, where I've been, and what I can be accused of. And when Satan starts accusing me, I just have to shake my head and say, you're right. You're right. But when he brings it before Almighty God, God says, I just see my only son. I just see my son standing here because I'm clothed in his righteousness. True love forgives and forgives. True love is confident. Abraham was confident in the source, God the Father. And he said, because of this, I'm going to follow through with what God wants me to do. I'm confident that his love will not fail me in this instant. I'm confident that God is going to come through, even though I don't understand. I'm glad love never fails. The truth comes back to this. You can be confident that when men fail you, when the things of this world fail you, that there is a God in heaven who be confident in that. True love, the details of it, it forgives and it forgets. It's confident. It's trusting. Just trust in his love. That he loves you enough. When you think about the love you have for your children, you think about the love that you have for those that are closest to you right now, and you think about the fact that, I mean, Gracie trusts me and Jesse to take care of her because we're her parents. She gets up in the morning and she says, I want breakfast. I'm hungry. She was trusting me to go to the kitchen and get her something. But you understand what I'm saying? She trusts in my love for her. And we have to trust in God's love, that his love will not leave us, and that out of love he'll never forsake us, and that through his love he'll always come through for us in the end. Details about love. It forgives and it forgets. It's confident. It's trusting. It's hopeful. I got a hope that's beyond this world, don't you? If that man is calling the Jews home, hallelujah unto God. Won't be long. Lift up your eyes. Your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah unto God. I'm hopeful. True love can be found in hope. I'm done right here. Love is demonstrated. I've shared with you love's an action. I've talked about it like it's a verb. I've talked about it like it's some abstract idea. But listen, love is an action. Number one, love is demonstrated through sacrifice. Genesis 22, Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac because he loved God. He was willing to sacrifice his son because God wanted him. Listen, John chapter 3, verse 16, we are shown through the demonstration of the sacrifice of the Son of God that He loved us enough to sacrifice His Son. That's pretty powerful right there. Love is demonstrated through sacrifice. Number two, love is demonstrated, some of you are not going to like this, love is demonstrated through submission. Abraham submitted to the will of God. Take thy son, thine only son. What did he do? Submitted to him. Isaac submitted to the will of his father. Son, you're the sacrifice. Lay down on the altar. Jesus submitted to the will of the Heavenly Father. Not my will, but thine be done. True love is demonstrated through the willingness to submit to the authority of another. True love is demonstrated through selflessness. Because thou did not withhold thy son, Abraham said, what's mine is yours, God. Even if it's Isaac. Even if it's Isaac.
As I think about what he has done for me in my life, I am glad that selflessly he laid down his life on Calvary so that I could be the sons of God. Ephesians chapter 2, I want to read this verse of Scripture, these verses of Scripture, and then we'll be done. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verses 4. 5, 6, and 7. We know verses 8 and 9, for by grace you save through faith. But listen to what these verses say. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. With a great love. That is true love.